was dancing with Psy in that video, that girl is Hyuna, and she's one of the biggest stars from Korea, and she's going to have a concert here in Vancouver on February 22nd at Hard Rock Concert. Please make some time to go to her concert. You will not regret it, I'm pretty sure, because Hyuna is awesome. Let me play you out her most recent song, How's This?
Cause they don't got 여기저기 손 들어다 다 여기 와서 흔들어 우리 같이 춤추자 자, 자 이제 너도 흔들어 여기서 다 내려놔 나, 나 어느 와서 따라해 여기다 손 흔들어 다 다 지금부터 흔들어 춤추자 별로 느낌이 오면 바로 숨 깊게 나는 없어 더 이상 뺄 것도 없어 나 다른 생각 안 났네 지금 이 순간이 중요해 제발 바른 말은 것만해 난 원래 내가 이래 짠한 경계 속에 나 맞추지 마 재미없어 어제 같은 네 기준에 날 가두지 마 흥미없어 No, 재미없어 복잡한 계산안에 너 멈추지 마 I'ma do it like this Come on. 여기저기 손 들어 다 여기 와서 흔들어 우리 같이 춤추자 자 이제 너도 흔들어 여기서 다 내려놔 나 어느 와서 따라해 여기다 손 흔들어 다 지금부터 흔들어 춤추자
Last year, over 650 BC teens aged out of foster care without a permanent family.
Adoption is not just for babies. Teens need families too. Only 24 teens in BC were adopted last year.
November is Adoption Awareness Month. To find out more about adopting a teen, contact the Adoptive Families Association of BC. Call 1-877-ADOPT-07 or visit us at bcadopt.com.
Did you guys enjoy today's show, K-Pop Got Fierce? Please stay safe until next Thursday when I will be back with a new episode at 1 p.m. as always. You know, at the end of each episode, I always end the show by saying thank you so much for listening to my show, everyone. Today, I will not use that line, and I'll take a moment right now to confess to you guys that I always really appreciate and am grateful to you guys for listening to my show and loving it. The person who hosts this show, K-Pop Cafe, is me, but the one who keeps this show alive is you. Please wait for my next episode next Thursday. Thank you, everyone.
You are listening to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Deepi, and I am a collective member. I am joined in the studio today by my fellow co-host Desi and Connie.
Hi.
Hi. We are CITR's collectively run show that talks about accessibility for those with diverse cognitive and physical disability on campus and beyond. As always, we are broadcasting live from the AMS Student Nest on the traditional, ancestral, occupied and unceded territory of the Musqueam people.
On today's show, Desi, Connie, and I will be discussing the medical benefits of marijuana when it comes to people with disabilities. More importantly, and specifically, what are the laws when it, like in Canada and in BC, what is cannabis and marijuana legalized medically in Canada, and what extent, as well as what are the arguments supporting or against it, and so much more on this controversial topic.
Yeah, so we wanted to kind of get an idea of what UBC thought of weed. So me and Miriam went around Central Campus and we asked people. So let's see what people had to say.
Hi, it's Desi.
And I'm Miriam. We're reporting live from the student AMS Student Nest.
And we're finding out what UBC thinks of weed.
Or medical.
Cannabis. Medical.
Medical marijuana.
Okay.
Whether you do it or not, do you support the recreational use of marijuana?
Yeah. Doesn't really hurt anyone.
No.
Do you support recreational use of marijuana?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, possibly. Why not?
Why not? Okay, cool.
Wait. Okay, I don't think recreational marijuana is really good for ourselves. I think for medical use it's fine.
But it's better than drinking and smoking. What? I would not promote smoking weed, but if someone wants to have a brownie or something, then it's okay because no bad effects have been shown, so I don't mind. I mean, no, I don't have it, but even if I do, I'm not going to say it publicly, but...
okay. That's okay.
Yeah, that's so bad.
What do you like or not like about it?
I mean, compared to a lot of other stuff people can do, it's, relatively healthy for you.
I don't know, I think it's useful for medical uses and recreational uses.
I like that it's regulated because I'm from Germany and there it's very underground, and particularly with when you get more into harder drugs, you really find that things get much more unsanitary and you really don't know where it's coming from. And because it's legalized here and you can actually go to a dispensary that you can, quote unquote, trust, you can actually, let's be honest, it's kind of fun, when it's a little bit taboo and it's okay, can I find this? I don't know what's going on.
Do you use it yourself?
On occasion.
Okay, and so you use it medically?
I guess you can call it like that.
Okay, no, that's okay.
That's what I mean, right? That's my point.
Do you know, I have to ask you, do you know or know anything about its medical use?
What was that again?
Lastly, I'm going to read at you a stat and just let me know what are your thoughts on it and if you think it's accurate.
Okay.
So the Center of Addiction and Mental Health reported that half, so around 44% of Canadians, say they've used marijuana once in their lifetime.
I think that it's more.
It's higher than 44%?
I think it would definitely be higher.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think that's accurate, fact or not. Well, half of people find it once in their life, I guess it could be, but how can we know? Is that a source?
Yeah.
What about that source? It's just throwing a rocket.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think 44% should be right. Because it's almost every other person, it takes it.
Yeah.
Can be a good representation for.
I feel like the percentage would be higher.
Okay, so the Center of Addiction and Mental Health in 2006 reported that almost half, so around 44% of Canadians, say that they've used marijuana once in their lifetime.
I can do that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That sounds true. Yeah.
Okay, guys, so you just heard me and Miriam going around Central Campus asking people what they think about weed. But so now, while people's opinions varied on the recreational use of cannabis, there seemed to be a consensus about the medical use. So I'm going to play that part of our interviews now.
Do you know anyone personally who was helped?
No,
that's okay. That's fine. What about medical use of marijuana?
That's important.
Okay, I don't really know very much about it personally, but I mean, if it's going towards something that's going to benefit someone like in their health, then I think it's a positive thing. I think that it definitely benefits a lot of people, and people don't realize that, and so they see it as a negative.
Yeah, I do support it, because as a guy who wants to go to med school, I think, you know, if a patient needs it, then you should give it, because sometimes, you know, they give you things which cause a lot of pain. So.
Okay, how about medically?
Medically?
Yeah.
If it's used properly, like actually medically, then yeah, sure. If not, like if it's used, I'm kind of against that.
Do you mean abuse as in like the amount it's used or the reasons it's used?
Both.
Okay. Do you know like anything about it or like how people use it medically? No. What do you know about like medical uses of it?
Say for pain or like mentally like trauma times maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% like really good and smart about it.
No, sorry. You'd be surprised how, like, you... Okay, do you know anything about its medical use? Like, who would need it? What it does for them?
I know it's used for, like, anxiety a lot of the time, and I just need to think about people with Parkinson's. It's stopped their tremors.
Hey guys, so you just listened to the rest of our asking people on the streets what they think of weed. So if you notice, people seem to be very supportive of it being used medically, but there was less of a clear idea and understanding of how it could be used medically. To inform us a little bit more, we thought we'd talk to an expert, someone a little bit more informed than us on this topic. So Miriam spoke to Nada, who is a researcher based out of Toronto. So we're going to play that for you right now.
One, two, three. Today in studio, we have a special guest. This is Nada Madan. Say hi, Nada.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Nads. Okay, so can you tell us about your work slash position and the capacity in which you've worked with patients using medical marijuana?
Yeah, of course. So basically, we work with a variety of patients with different conditions and ailments who have found therapeutic benefits using medical marijuana. I actually work with the actual extract itself. It's amazing. Like, there's so many different products that people can use if they're not comfortable smoking. There's tinctures, there's capsules, there's extracts, there's oils, all these things. So it is very much friendly to any person who may have any type of
condition where like they wouldn't be comfortable smoking for whatever reason.
Yeah, exactly. Because in the industry, a lot of people understand that there's still quite taboo for a lot of people, but a lot of these people are the people who are looking for the medical benefits, and so we kind of just cater to that.
Yeah, no, that's important, because also on our show we talk about like the stigma behind marijuana, and like sometimes people misuse it. Can you just tell us like what the difference between the place you worked at and regular dispensary?
Yeah, of course. So there's a lot of dispensaries in Vancouver, as a lot of people may know.
Fun fact, there's more dispensaries than Tim Hortons.
Yeah, oh my God, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, no. Research, anyways, yeah.
Well, that goes to show Vancouverites, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's awesome, but, you know, they're all at different levels, and they all have different ways of doing things. Where I work, it's a dispensary and a cancer research center, so it's really heavy on the medical aspect of marijuana towards treating cancer. However, we do the research for other conditions as well, such as epilepsy, Tourette's, even things like Parkinson's, glaucoma, honestly anything. If you've got pain, if you've got a condition and you're looking for any type of benefit, then it's there. But yeah, like I said, I think cancer is the main one, and I think that's the big selling point for a lot of medical marijuana dispensaries because of the research that's been done and the findings that, you know, a lot of researchers have found on how it treats cancer and how it helps actually just kill the cancer cells without damaging any of your healthy cells like chemotherapy does.
Wow, interesting. That's actually, I think, the first, like, we went out on the streets and we interviewed a bunch of people, and we've heard, like, a variety from chronic back pain to Parkinson's to,
yeah,
like, anxiety, but cancer is, like, that's interesting. It's
yeah, huge. It's actually one of the main ones. These other, like, anxiety and Parkinson's and all these things, it's there, and there are people who will tell you that they use medical marijuana to treat those symptoms and they find that it works.
Mm-hmm.
But cancer is actually the main one where you'll find a lot of research done on it and a lot of things to back up a lot of the science behind it.
Okay.
Whereas something like Parkinson's, for example, Parkinson's as a condition, there's not much research done on that itself. And then to add medical marijuana to that, the things that you want to research that may help a condition that's not really researched intensely as much as cancer is, you know?
No, I know, and it's, so, like, relatively, yeah, new, I think. Like, it's...
Exactly, yeah. So there's just less info out there on that, but if you're looking for info on cancer and medical marijuana, you'll find a lot.
Hmm. Well, maybe we'll look into that for the show.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think you touched up a bit on it, but, like, what variety of patients specifically did you get, like?
I think the most of the patients we had were, like I said, cancer patients,
mm-hmm,
epilepsy patients, but I think the other main one would be people dealing with chronic pain. If they had an accident, if they just have, like, joint pain, muscle pain, that's a big one, too. People use it a lot just as a pain reliever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, for a lot of people, it's the more natural route as opposed to taking Tylenols or Advils.
We did street interviews around UBC asking people what their views were, and one person spoke about how they feel like many people use marijuana medically in a way as, like, doing something, like seeing change in their life without actually solving their problems. Like, she was talking about people who have depression and, like, won't try to go to a psychologist or won't try to get any help, and they'll just use the medical marijuana to, like, help them go to sleep. And I was just wondering what,
yeah,
your thoughts are on that. Like, do you think that's not, I mean, it obviously it's a legit opinion. Do you feel like her opinion is true to some extent?
Of course. I think that it is very valid. But the same could be said about any quote-unquote drug or anything that people use to help alleviate their symptoms because, you know, everybody wants to feel good.
Yeah.
Everybody wants,
oh, yeah,
to be, you know, not dealing with pain. And
mm-hmm,
marijuana, the thing that's really awesome about it is that it offers the pain relief as well as, like, it can affect your mood. So that's why people with depression and anxiety use it. It's a valid opinion. I mean, people use anything as a crutch, but I think that in terms of mood disorders, when it comes to marijuana, it's not the solution and it's not the cure. It's kind of just, like, something to get you by for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody is dealing with those things, then...
Okay, and on a slightly different note, do you support its use recreationally?
Yeah, I mean, it's not harmful to anybody as long as they're over 16.
Right.
Yeah. So that's really the only thing. Like, if people want to use it recreationally, I don't think that there's a problem with that. There, so many people use it recreationally,
mm-hmm,
and that's fine because even if you're using it recreationally without knowing that it has medicinal benefits, it's still benefiting you medicinally at the end of the day, whether you like it or not or whether you know it or not. So at the end of the day, it just goes back to being a medicinal thing. It is a plant. It has those benefits, and whether or not you're using it for those benefits doesn't diminish the fact that it is giving you those benefits.
Right on. Okay, so lastly, I'm going to read you a stat. And let me know if what your thoughts on it and if you think it's accurate.
Okay.
Okay, so the Center of Addiction and Mental Health in 2006 reported that almost half of Canadians, so that's around 44%, say they've used marijuana at least once in their lifetime.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely true. I know so many people who you would never think use it, and they use it, and it's
same.
It really depends on where you go to, and it depends on the laws in the area, and even just the social aspect of the community you're in, whether it's considered really taboo or not. But I think that in Vancouver and in British Columbia, it's quite lenient, and so you'll find that it's a lot more out there. It's a lot more used.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And how about the number 44%? Do you think it's like just about that or higher or lower?
I actually think it's probably higher.
Yeah, fair enough. No, because some of the people we've talked to said that, like, it's probably something to do with people not always reporting it.
Yeah, exactly.
Correctly. Yeah, no, so I think higher does seem logical. We actually don't know, like, the you know.
Okay. It's up. Yeah, I would assume it's higher just because of, like, the like when I was working with people, we weren't just working with people from Vancouver or from mm-hmm. BC. We were working with people from all over Canada and like the most random and remote parts of the country, like people who don't even have internet, you know. So I'd say it's pretty widespread, and that number is probably bigger.
I think it's definitely higher in Vancouver anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
This is kind of a side question. What's the culture like with marijuana, medical or recreational, in where you're living right now?
Where I am right now, it's pretty much used, but it's not the same. It's not very accessible, so you would need to know people who are selling it on the streets or on the side. There aren't really much dispensaries, or you can't acquire it in a legal manner, and so it does leave some room for, you know, shadiness.
Anyway, so I think we're about done. Thank you, Netha, for joining us. Thank you for your opinion.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Ready? Yep. What is cannabis? It is a plant that grows wild in many of the tropical and temperate areas of the world on any climate. In Canada, youth are on top when using marijuana, according to a report conducted in 2013 by a UNICEF office. Despite a decrease in recent years, marijuana still remains the most commonly used legal drug among the ages of 15 to 24 years. Like everything else, there are pros and cons when dealing with the use of marijuana. Adolescents are particularly at risk since their brains are constantly changing rapidly and are in their developmental stage. Furthermore, according to researchers, chronic marijuana use can harm with memory, thinking, and attention difficulties, particularly among those who begin using marijuana in the early age in life. However, chronic use may also increase the risk of psychosis, depression, and anxiety, as well as respiratory conditions and possibly lung cancer, for not only for youth, but for adults as well. Let's talk about the laws and regulations, shall we? According to Health Canada, cannabis is not an approved therapeutic product and should not be used as endorsement purposes. The use of cannabis for medical purposes must be authorized by a healthcare practitioner and will continue to have the option of purchasing safe, quality, controlled cannabis from one of the producers licensed by Health Canada. The dosage of cannabis marijuana must be highly individualized and can be used less than 3 grams.
Thank you, DP. No, so that worries. Was a bit of information about what goes on in Canada.
Yeah.
But we thought we'd check on our neighbors. So in the States, there's a group called MAMA, and MAMA stands for Mothers Advocating for Medical Use. Mothers Advocating for Medical Use of Marijuana for Autism. They are based out of Texas, and I spoke over the phone with one of their co-founders, Amy Liu. So we're going to take a listen to what she had to say.
Hi, Hi, you're listening to All Access Pass. I am here with Amy Liu, who is a part of the Mothers Advocating for Medical Marijuana for Autism. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do, who you are, what's the organization you're involved with?
Sure. So I'm Amy Liu, and I'm from Texas, and I have a 17-year-old son with autism, and he's kind of what we call a non-responder. So even though we knew he had issues from before he was two and have been giving him all sorts of appropriate therapy, you know, from behavioral to playtime to nutrition to biomedical, we've done all the major stuff and then some. We've never really been able to move the needle as far as getting to any core symptoms. He's pretty much the same kid he was at age two. As far as autism goes, and there's still a long ways to go with his behaviors and his level of anxiety that I've never been able to, you know, make better. They just continue to get worse.
Right.
So with a child like that, you know, regardless of your belief system or any preconceived ideas, I always say you just think out of the box when you have a sick kid.
Right.
And so autism parents are famous for scouring the internet for what might help their child. And it started at least 10 years ago looking at, we'd like to say cannabis, not marijuana, cannabis for autism. And I definitely found a couple stories that were very, very encouraging. Some of the old timers, a boy named Sam, a boy named Alex, and a boy named Joey. But then over the span of 8 years, I never saw any new stories. And I thought, well, if this works for autism, with given that the tidal wave of children with autism happening, surely we'd be hearing more. And so I kind of just let it go.
Right.
But I think people don't talk, or in those days didn't talk about it because of the illegal nature and controversial nature. Even in Colorado, there's some fear of giving it to children, stuff like that. Until Charlotte's Web happened.
Right.
And Charlotte's Web is a strain named for a little girl who was having 300 seizures a week. The parents asked for cannabis oil, and it immediately put her seizures down. Well, it's just a drop under the tongue and no bad side effects. And immediately she was down to one or two seizures a week. And she's made wonderful progress since then. It's been a number of years. But what that interview said that caught my attention and my co-founder's attention of Mama was it improved her developmental delays, and autism is a developmental delay disorder. And we're like, it can work for autism. It might work for autism. And I founded it along with a friend of mine, and we're like, well, let's start a group. And that was exactly 3 years ago.
Wow.
So we formed MAMA as an advocacy group in Texas where it's illegal to use marijuana or cannabis medicinally. Almost. I'll explain more about that later. It's almost completely illegal. But so we just started a group, and any success we've had, I think, is just because we're in the right place at the right time. Right. Autism is overwhelming the nation. Cannabis is coming in, and it can't be stopped at this point for medical cannabis. So my husband calls us lightning in a bottle. We just captured a moment. And Mama has been, from being a little two people from a church talking about it online to we have a Facebook following of over 11,000 people, which I know that's kind of not a real thing, but it's just Facebook. But we also have Mama chapters in a dozen states in the United States. We've talked to people from all over the world. People have reached out to us more than daily to talk about this. So that's kind of how Mama started.
I didn't know that. So you were one of the founders of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So how did you find that, like, when it was taking off? How did you find that there was, how were you able to, like, connect with these other mothers and what was kind of like the push for you to continue with it, I guess?
Well, we just started going to meetings of other cannabis advocacy groups, and literally when, like, there's a lot of groups out there that are, there's a couple big groups that are fighting for cannabis reform across the board, and we're just for medical, but that was really, they gave us a really good start just meeting people because they already had a platform to speak from. And when they, when we came in and said we were mothers of children with autism advocating for medical cannabis, they literally cried because there are so many patients represented in that organization. You know, there's a lot of recreational use, I would guess, or at least some of it is self-medication, but that's another story. So, so anyways, they gave us our first platform and invited us to speak at their march and all that. And we knew nothing pretty much then, but they were just happy to see our, you know, hear our hearts and where we were going with this. So we just plugged into existing groups. But then, like I said, Mothers for Autism are scour the internet, and word just got out. And my co-founder is she has a lot more autism connections in the medical world than I did. So we got to talk about it at some big medical conferences right away. So that's how we kind of got our foot in the door of advocacy.
Hey guys, so you were just listening to an interview we did with Mothers Advocating for Medical Marijuana Use for Autism. It stands for MAMA. We're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to finish up this interview. Over the break, you're going to hear a great song. This is State of Elevation by Dylan Cooper. He is from Brooklyn, and he's a rapper. So enjoy.
About to be a state of elevation, because the underdog is eating, cause I'm starving like I'm Marvin, yo, emaciated overdose, y'all never know the feeling that I get whenever I see the same, 2-point Dylan, come on Facebook, catching feelings, I'm appealing, now they feel the snap, trying to get a feeling on my so she can stick around, she just think I'm different now, tatted up, braces gone, tell her to leave me alone, only thing she want is for the kid to fucking take her home and lay it on the table, hop in the range, the game is changing up, switch hitting, I'm dangerous, Michael Jackson's angel dust, pardon me, I'm Hollywood, these lame MCs are zombie, and I'm jamming out like Marley with a blonde state Barbie. Of elevation, now I'm levitating, raise stakes, it ain't too late, got me feeling great, floating on a cloud, it's amazing, Jimmy Purple hazing, taking over nations, we my blazing, hey, we levitating, raise stakes, it ain't too late, got me feeling great, floating on a cloud, it's amazing, Jimmy Purple hazing, taking over nations, we blazing. I said our friendship sex and party, not the section, she was texting her best friend cause she won next, and I'm sure she gonna get it with this modern day Mike Siva, Martin, she was Gina, told us how you know it, it was really nice to meet you, now it's on to the next one, nerd a life lesson, f*** him but don't love him, so the next day I ain't texting, missed calls by anonymous, haters wanna try be us, do, not interested in the politics, the only thing I wanna do is body the game, remember the name, Dylan Cooper, the Dark Knight, brass knuckles and knife fights, get light and Harlem shake, Coop's time to dominate, the show is on the roll, my pockets swollen up them big bills, always gotta stay trill, red light, pop them off, top spot, now knock them off, take over like hijackers, detonation coming faster, blowing up, we mass attacking, Stevie Wonder, master blaster, kill all these state of elevation, now we're levitating, raise stakes, it ain't too late, got me feeling great, floating on a cloud, it's amazing, Jimmy Purple hazing, taking over nations, we my blazing, hey, we levitating, raise stakes, it ain't too late, got me feeling great, floating on a cloud, it's amazing, Jimmy Purple hazing, taking over nations, we make up blazing, big up, it's a stick up, call for the motherfucking cops, they don't pick up, I got the ammunition in the system, making hits get rich and, bitch on my, man, it's sick, man, I'm living this, it's wicked and wicked, slick a clip, I'm feeling it, hitting it, a voodoo child, play guitar, the Hendrix style, flooding shit, Texas, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Genghis Khan, and Emperor, Mac Cobra, Jamaican, flexing, yup, Brooklyn is the best in this, haters who need evidence, I'm selling it all separate and building money like Tetris, irrelevance, my detriment, body bagging, perfectionist, expressionist, and I'm going express, you can get left, guitar on my chest, spitting that death, you heard that I'm coming for heads and cut your neck, better speed up, you better get left, sick with the rhymes, quit with a crime, murder the track, I'm doing some time, living divine, sign of the times, take over, state of elevation, now we're levitating, raise stakes, it ain't too late. Got me feeling great, floating on a cloud, it's amazing. Jimmy Purple hazing, taking over nations, we my blazing. Hey, we levitating, raise stakes, it ain't too late. got me feeling great, floating on a cloud, it's amazing. Jimmy Purple hazing, taking over nations. We make a blazing, blazing. We know but don't you blazing.
Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts downtown at Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium, the Cinematheque, the Fall Tattooing, Selectors Records, Community Thrift and Vintage, Vinyl Records, Sakura's, Classical Records, and Beat Street Records.
What would we do without our friends?
Tune in to African Rhythms every Friday from 7:30 to 9 o'clock. With your host, David Love Jones, as he plays a heavyweight selection of classics from the past, present, and future. This includes jazz, soul, hip-hop, Afro-Latin, funk, and eclectic Brazilian rhythm.
Lots of people, they take it like a game.
Hey guys, you're listening to All Access Pass on 101.9 CITR FM. Before the break, you were listening to the beginning of our interview with the group MAMA. They are, MAMA stands for Mothers Advocating for Medical Marijuana Use for Autism. So we're going to play the rest of that interview right now.
And with, you were saying your co-founder being more involved with the medical context, do you find that there's resistance specifically to where you're situated in Texas, where you said it's almost illegal. Did you find that there was resistance from doctors, from the medical community?
Both. There is and there isn't. Doctors are not taught about this in school, and so there's a lack of clinical studies for cannabis in the United States because it's a Schedule I substance.
Right.
So
could you explain a little bit about what Schedule I is for people who don't know what it is?
In the United States, the prohibited drugs, there's a different word for it I can't grasp, think of right now, there's a five-tier schedule, and at the top of the list are, sorry.
No worries.
You might need to edit.
Yeah, no worries. I'm just writing it down.
Sorry. Okay, I'm just going to... I don't know how to make that stop.
Oh, sorry. It was, what is a Schedule I drug?
Oh, a Schedule I drug. Okay. Got it.
Right. And then before that, I had asked what has been the reaction from the medical community that you guys have ties with. Right.
Okay. Okay, so I'll talk about a Schedule I drug. So in the United States, there's a hierarchy of illicit drugs, and the top of the list contains heroin and things like that and marijuana. And the reason it's there is they claim there's no medical benefit from marijuana. Cocaine is on that as well. Then so that's the problem doctors have is, one, they've been taught it's an illicit, dangerous, non-medical drug from years of propaganda and medical school. And secondly, there's because it's a Schedule I drug, you can't do research about a Schedule I drug except if you're trying to prove that it's bad for you.
Right, right.
So there's been lots of studies trying to show how bad cannabis is for us, and I think specifically of the study where they found out it kills brain cells or makes your IQ drop or something. But that's for somebody that's smoking it frequently throughout the day and they're making a lifestyle choice for years to do that.
Right.
So, I think if you sat on the couch and drank alcohol, three times a day for years, you'd probably have a few brain cell issues. So anyways, that's the problem doctors have. If they're, I think some have experiential knowledge of it, because I've heard of patients where they had cancer and the doctor said, just please go find some cannabis and to help with your symptoms, your nausea and being sick after chemo. So So there's those types of doctors. And then there's doctors that are open to it. And they are willing to testify, and they are willing to speak publicly about it.
Right.
So it kind of runs the gamut. But more doctors are against it than for it at this point,
right.
Or at least more are quiet about it than vocal is probably a better way to say it.
Right. And have you found that with other mothers that you've talked to, that that's something that they have to deal with, where maybe their doctor of their child is against the medical use of marijuana?
Yes, and this is where we have to keep in mind that in the United States, we have to think about which state is it legal and which state is it not legal. So in the non-legal states like Texas, doctors aren't even allowed to talk to you about it. Otherwise, they can get in trouble. They cannot suggest to you that you should try it.
Right.
But in the legal states, it can be difficult. You have to have one or two doctors, depending on the state, sign off on a recommendation for your child to use it. And even in Colorado, it can be hard to find a doctor who's willing to do that for a child.
Right.
So we have a lot of work to do to really make it safely legal and getting help from doctors, which is what one of our principles at MAMA is, to have a doctor's guidance. But not only, this is interesting, not only are doctors not allowed to talk about it, even if they are the ones that write the recommendation, I don't know if it's in all the states, but in most of the states, they're not allowed to then continue to guide you. All they can do is recommend it. But then they're like, sorry, I can't advise on strains or dosages.
Right, so they just say that it's okay to take. But then I know, like, from the research that we did do, that it's important what type of strain it is.
Oh, absolutely, and that's a huge subject, too.
Right.
So, but the point with the doctor is that autism is so complicated. Otherwise, we'd have sort of a, you use this, and then that's what you try. And there's endless number of things to try with autism because there's not one autism type, you know. So different things work for different kids, and it's the same with cannabis. Different strains are going to work with different kids, and we would really like people to become experts that can guide us, especially on children that are difficult. Like my son is, I'm sure he's going to be, because things don't work for him. So I think there's going to be different types of kids as far as cannabis intervention goes, too. I know people who are getting it illegally, and they don't really worry about their source. As long as it's clean, they don't worry about what strain, and everything works for their kid. And then there's other children I've heard of in legal states where they have the ability to sort of try strain after strain, and it takes multiple strains before they find one that actually helps.
Right, right.
But even if something isn't helpful, and like CBD oil, for instance, that is legal for me to try with my son. It makes him worse, but it doesn't make him worse for more than a day. It's safe. He has a bad day, and I'm like, okay, well, that's not working for him. But there's not like I gave my son risperidol, which is one of the two FDA-approved drugs for irritability in autism. And within 36 hours of a low dose of risperidol, my son opened his mouth and started wagging his tongue back and forth with like a tick.
Right.
And we stopped it immediately because ticks can be a permanent side effect from risperidol.
Okay.
They don't have to be, but they can be. And after less than a 2-day trial, it took at least 6 months for that tongue tick to go away.
Oh, wow.
So that's dangerous. Right. Cannabis is not dangerous.
Right.
And that's one of the big things that puts people's fears at ease, but it's still not enough for doctors to embrace it sometimes.
Okay, we're going to take a break here from the interview. We're going to go on a little break, and after that, we're going to hear the last of the interview. For those of you that are just tuning in, this was an interview we did yesterday morning with one of the co-founders of MAMA. MAMA is Mothers Advocating for Medical Marijuana Use for Autism. So yeah, with that, we're going to head into a little break here.
Tune in every other Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. for Blood on the Saddle with your host, Dan N., for real, authentic country.
Right. And like you were saying, it seems like with trying different strains, that's definitely somewhere where... maybe there wouldn't be as many difficulties trying to match a strain. Right. And like you were saying, it seems like with trying different strains, that's definitely somewhere where they could grow, and maybe like clinical trials could, if there wasn't as many limitations, maybe there wouldn't be as many difficulties trying to match a strain to the child, I guess.
Yes. I would think that, you know, it's the same in treating autism. Let's say there's, I'm just making this up, a dozen subtypes of autism. There's a gut kid, a viral kid, you know, an inflammation kid. All those different types or different diets work. I think it'd be the same for autism. With cannabis, I think you could probably identify a dozen strains that in general, if your kid is like this, he's going to need this strain. But an overriding principle is that children with autism are going to need access to the whole plant. So I don't know if you in your audience knows that we have CBD, high CBD laws in the states, in about a dozen states now.
Okay, no, we do not.
Okay, so what they're doing in these really conservative states to try to help some people but not let in the big monster of marijuana into your state is they limit what part of the plant you can access.
Okay.
So cannabis has over 400 chemical compounds. Over 100 of those are cannabinoids. So the cannabinoids, of those 100 or so cannabinoids, the most famous or the most popular one before the medical part came is THC. THC is what gives you the psychoactive effect.
Right.
Other ones do slightly, but THC is the biggie. So states don't want to have anybody pretending they're sick so that they can have access to another drug to use. So what they do is they say, okay, we can have the whole plant, everything else, but it can't have more than 0.5% or some percentage that they, it's an arbitrary number that states go from 0.3% to about 5% THC that are restricting it. And so these are the Bible Belt conservative states that the conservatives just have a hard time getting past the propaganda that they've been taught for years. And I sympathize because I'm one of those conservatives. I'm a very conservative Christian Republican that lives in Texas, and I'm good with all that. But so I understand that it's hard, and that's why I go back to my original statement of when you have a sick kid, you got to think out of the box.
Right.
So that's why.
Right. I think you were touching on this before, and I just wanted to segment over here. You're saying some of the goals and focuses of MAMA. What are some of the goals you guys are hoping to achieve right now? So what are some of the action points that your group is carrying on at the moment?
Well, there are so many potential goals, but there's a couple things that I think are really important right now. We're from Texas. The founders met in Texas, and we're in a legislative session right now. So we're kind of hunkering down and focusing on just trying to get a whole plant bill that includes autism as a qualifying condition.
Right.
Because if you don't have a qualifying condition, you can't get a recommendation anyway. So, and there's a bill that's been introduced. So I spent the day at the Capitol with about 20 other mamas just advocating for this bill that would cover autism with the whole plant.
Right.
So a big focus right now is just in our own state.
Right.
but the second focus is in other states where, let's say, a whole plant state like Michigan or Florida or, you know, other states that have whole plant bill now, but autism is not a qualifying condition, we are helping other states write petitions to get autism as a qualifying condition,
right,
providing as much research as we can, and just supporting them, helping them write the petition. And that we've done that a couple times, and that's something I'd really, once the Texas legislative session is over, that's something I'd really like to concentrate on. I know Minnesota next summer is going to be writing a petition, and they've reached out to us. And I'm really hoping that, you know, we can work with them to help them write a petition. We just submitted one. Oh, no, we didn't actually meet the deadline because it's kind of you know, it's new and it's a little complicated. You'd all written down, but we just wrote a petition for Arizona that we're going to sit on for 6 months and reintroduce it in the summer, because you can only apply a couple times a year in most states.
Right.
Illinois is in a big battle right now to add autism as a qualifying condition. So that's nationally, that's the big thing that we're working on, is helping states get autism as a qualifying condition. But and then goals is just to continue to educate people and educate doctors. We'll be at, we'll have a presence, if not, a, we do have a doctor speaking at Autism One, which is being held in Colorado Springs in May, and cannabis is a big topic there. So we just, we love to network and put people together that may not know each other,
right?
And just help movement that way. So that's keeping us busy, not to mention all the parents that write us on a daily basis asking for help. And while I can't give medical advice to anybody, you know, I can say join this group or, you know, find this person in that state and things like that. So that's what comes with just with time and growing an organization.
Right, right. And you're saying, so one of your initiatives is to educate, so you go to events. Is there any other ways that you your group educates other people?
Well, we're constantly putting up things on our fan page on Facebook, articles or research that we run across, and we try to give talks. One of our we have a, we'll be speaking in April at a TACA conference, which is Talk About Curing Autism. They're a national organization. I recently wrote a couple sidebars in a magazine called The Autism File that is an electronic magazine. And so we're doing that kind of thing. And, of course, we, you know, word of mouth, we try to wear our mama shirts, and it's people just stop and ask us. So I find for very conservative people, Christian, you know, organizations and whatnot, they initially think, no way. But all I need 5 minutes with this person, I'll have them agreeing with me, because it's so clearly in my mind, it's a plant that God made. God made us. We have an endocannabinoid system that has the receptors for not only our endogenous cannabinoids that we manufacture ourselves. There's two. They found a third. There's probably more. But also for the cannabis plant, it's like a lock and key. Our endocannabinoid system is perfect fit for cannabis. That's not an accident.
Right.
You know, so as a Christian, I truly believe God put it there for us. And when people withhold this plant saying, it's, you know, I'll pray for you that you get your symptoms, you know, relief for your son. And I'm like, God already answered our prayer and you're not letting us have it.
Right, right.
So so that's, I don't remember the beginning of this question, but that's where. That's kind of what we believe, because we, like I said, we met in church, and this really isn't a problem from a Christian viewpoint.
Right.
So
yeah, in terms of like what other types of feedback have you guys, like in terms of reception from other people, maybe people that are resistant to it, people like what has the feedback been like to Mama since you began about 3 years ago?
It's been very favorable and encouraging. I think the toughest people to talk to are the doctors that really are looking for that scientific research that they don't accept what's out there yet, even though I believe there's enough research out there if they would just pay attention to it.
Right.
So that's the most frustrating thing. But feedback for us has been very positive. At the beginning, when we hardly knew anything, people were so kind and just... The most important thing about us really is just getting our children's story out there. And so we're an expert on our children. And it's a little bit of just talking about what is autism. People don't know. And there's a video. There's all sorts of autism. What cannabis works beautifully for, and that drugs haven't seemed to work consistently or safely for, is when children are aggressive or when they are self-injurious, which means they hurt themselves, they punch themselves, bite themselves, you know, eye poking, you know, things like that, which are really, really sad for anybody to see, but especially a parent. And cannabis works for that, and nobody can argue with that. They can't possibly give us a hard time when we're just trying to help our children. And I think another key thing about positive feedback is we're not trying to sell anything. And right. I think people understand that we're not trying to get anything from anybody. We're just trying to give and help. And so the feedback's been very encouraging. Getting laws passed has a lot, especially a controversial type of a topic. You know, if you can walk in and tell a legislator about your child, they can't argue with you on that. And there's a lot of compassion.
Right.
And actually, sometimes it's misplaced compassion, I like to say, because they're worried about people getting access and it wouldn't be safe for the general population, in their opinion.
Right.
But they also do, people have compassion for us because our children are hurting and we're hurting.
Right. Right. So I guess we have to end here. But before we go, I know that you've been, you founded the organization and you've been doing this for about 3 years. Have you had any, any stories or any, big lessons taking away from connecting with other mothers?
Well, it's very encouraging. It's very, parents with autism in the family, we lose hope. And you think after my son's 17, after 15 years of trying everything, I really feel like cannabis is the one thing that can, it can't help everybody because nothing helps everybody, but it can help a lot of kids. And so all the stories I've heard of kids doing great, of like from the moment you give it, you can tell there's a change, they stop being aggressive, all those stories combined just give me hope, and I'm happy for everybody because when anybody that can help an autistic kid helps that one person, and it's all worth it even for one person. So.
Right. Oh, awesome. So I think that ends our interview for today. Thank you so much for talking with us. It was really great to get, to learn more about MAMA, because I think a lot of people might be a bit, lacking information about autism, about medical marijuana use or medical cannabis use towards autism. So thank you so much for speaking with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you. So if you want to get more information from MAMA, there's a few ways to do that. First would be to look at our website, which is at www.mamausa.org. And there's lots of scientific articles on there, as well as, scientific research and articles just telling you how does cannabis help autism. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TexasMamas. with an S at the end, and remember, MAMA's with 3 M's. So I hope that you can get some information there, anybody that needs it.
And that wraps up to today's show. We hope that you enjoyed our controversial topic, but hopefully it wasn't too negative.
Hopefully.
Thank you for listening, and special thanks to Amy Lou from MAMA, who was all the way from Texas, and Netta for speaking to us, and Desi?
Yeah, she also spoke with us from Texas, not Texas, oh my gosh, Toronto, so we had a bit of a spread out group today, this today for our show. So as always, we want to thank our collective. We want to thank you guys for listening. If you want to join our collective or you think that there's something we should talk about on the show, please email us. Our email is accessibilitycollective@citr.ca. We encourage you guys to listen on citr.ca. We have all of our shows podcasted. This will be podcasted as well. If you missed something, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. On Instagram, we are access_CITR. So we encourage you guys to tune in next week. We got more great accessibility coming your way. And stick around right now because Astro Talk is about to start.
Bye.
Bye.
We get high. High. Crazy blue.
like St. Elmo's fire, love so.